The Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show contains explicit language and is intended for mature audiences only. But just because you're mature doesn't mean you can't be a little naughty.
WWE Night of Champions 2023 is almost upon us. This is your special episode, preview and predictions, the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show version, which means I am Don, Tony, which also means he is.
Still Kevin Castle.
Still Kevin Castle. What's going on, Kev?
Not that much, man. It seems like it's been a while, but it's only been like a couple of weeks. I'm like, well, it's been a few months since we did the last of the show, but I think it's only been like a month, right?
It's been about a month. But,
yeah, it's been about a month.
You know, we don't want to, you know, wear out our welcome for everyone out there. And, you know, this weekend coming up, you know, I had a big brain fart yesterday when I was hyping up that we were doing predictions. I was talking about NXT Battleground and AEW Double or Nothing. And hell, I didn't even think of Impact Wrestling's Under Siege. And then it hit me today. I was like, holy shit. All of these events are happening this weekend. Talk about wrestling overload.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only doing predictions for Night of Champions tonight. I think something that happened at the end of NXT tonight kind of fucks up something that I had a brainstorm about, which we're going to get into momentarily. That actually does have to do with Night of Champions, but a really overloaded weekend of pro wrestling is coming up. Yeah, it's going to be big, but the biggest one of them all, the $50 million event in Saudi Arabia, WWE Night of Champions, 7 matches lined up. Most are for championships. How many championship new champions are going to be crowned? Well, we know at least one will be crowned. Are we going to have any others? Well, we will talk about it now. And, you know, the first match that I really would love to kick off with is Natalya trying to dethrone Rhea Ripley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Now, before we get into probably the obvious, Natalya stirred up a little bit of controversy earlier today. We're recording this Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. She recorded a video online, and she basically says, and I quote, "I am backstage at Raw trying to find a quiet spot. Locker rooms are never quiet, but here I am. I just wanted to get something off my chest that I haven't been able to stop thinking about just from the moment that I first got drafted to Raw until now. I was so excited. I was excited for a fresh start. And when I went out there to save Dana Brooke, maybe Rhea was right. Maybe I was trying to save myself. I read, you know, it's hard to not see comments online, waves and waves of comments that I've read on Twitter about people's podcasts have talked about it and just saying Natty is not on Rhea's level and she doesn't have Rhea's momentum. But I started thinking about it and I was like, well, maybe they're right. Right now I'm not on Rhea's level. I don't have a momentum. The truth is I've never been a favorite. I've never been a favorite. She actually said that twice. It's something that I've struggled with and I fought against, and I haven't lasted this long in the WWE by not fighting tooth and nail for every single thing that I have, because I know that I've never been a favorite. third time. Rhea can mock me. She could beat me up. She might even be able to beat me. But at Night of Champions, I can assure you she's going to respect me. She's going to respect me. Yeah, she's starting into turning into, what was it, Tommy Two-Time from Goodfellas? I'm going to go get the papers, the papers. Natty Two-Time. Some people interpreted this more of maybe she's a little frustrated that her career is starting to come to an end. Is this just her trying to get some idiots on social media to think, you know what, she may actually get a shot. She may actually have a chance to win it. My honest opinion, if Zelina didn't win it less than a month ago against Rhea, ain't no fucking way that Natty's going to win it in Saudi Arabia.
No, and I don't want to jump into somebody else, but we can talk about that too. But there's correlation that maybe you saw it too, Anthony, some people in the chat, that Ali did a in the car moment of
reflection.
Doubt or, moment of doubt, or I have been held back and blah, blah. So there was something going around in the locker room with opponents who maybe know that the fans, much like Ali would be the male version of Natty, where there's doubt, you're going against Gunther, this is a joke, you're going to last 1 minute, and he's addressing it, and Natty's addressing it on her side too, because you got talk about them both going after dominating champions who are the overwhelming favorite. Where, I mean, if people thought Roman Reigns retaining at Mania was just out of left field crazy that so few predicted that, one of them beating Gunther or Rhea so early and both dominating champions would be off the charts. I mean, if you were a betting man, you'd win a landfall of money if either one of these people take the title. But talking about Natty, I think Natty is getting sensitive to the, she's going and seeing the comments and stuff, because I'm sure she was curious when she was announced as Rhea's opponent. Maybe curiosity got the best of her, and she's like, let me see what people are saying. Am I getting the respect that I should get? Or no, and she's not, and it's podcasts. I'm one of them, and I don't know if you're one of them too. I mean, I've always been kind of hard on Natty. Not anything personal. I don't think she's a bad person or anything. I just think her time has come and gone. And if anything, I see her like looking in a crystal ball in a year. I see her as a trainer or as a female agent in this company. I think her career is winding down. I think it's obvious. It's been 15 years now. She's now over 40. And that's fine. And I get it. AJ Styles is 46. I get it. I totally get it. I'm not playing that women can't gracefully stay in the business after 40 like men can. I know that's a controversial subject that comes up a lot. But realistically, there's a lot of young girls that are now in the front of the line, and she's at the back line. She's had her chance. She's been in the spotlight. She's been on SummerSlam main event. She's been in WrestleMania. She hasn't been held back, and her future is a behind-the-scenes woman. So, yeah, I don't know if she wants that one last run that everybody talks about, but there is no way I can even conceive her winning. To be honest with you, I think it's going to be a 2-3-minute squash.
Yeah, yeah. You know, as far as Ali and Natty's videos, you and I had we had a medical term for that back in 2006 or 7. We called it midcarditis.
Yes.
Not myocarditis or whatever that is. Midcarditis. Listen, Mustafa Ali, I am rooting for, even though I don't think he has a shot either. But Natalya, listen, I'm the idiot that 2 years or 3 years ago when they had the Fox robot like cheering in, I actually said that Natty being drafted was probably the best, person in the draft. Out of everybody in the draft, I thought Natty was the best pick. And the reason why I said that was not because I thought she was winning championships. I thought that she was going to, significantly help the women's roster behind the scenes. I think for Natty, it's sinking in that, her time is running out. And unfortunately, Natalya is not like one of the wrestlers. I mean, wrestling fans have respect for her, but she doesn't have that kind of character and momentum. I really feel horrible for saying this, but I got to say it. I think her peak of popularity outside of the Hart Dynasty is when her dad passed away. I mean, There was all that sympathy, like, oh, let's root behind Natty, win it for her dad and this and that. She's not that kind of character on TV. That you want to see, we want to see Edge have one last run. Natalya, I just, I don't know. It's there's something that's always been lacking. And Natalya should not be disappointed. She should not be ashamed, because I've brought this up in the past. Some of the greatest actors and actresses out there never had the lead role. You know, if you have a consistent, strong career, and she has had a lot of opportunity. She's got records for the most matches, I think, in WWE and this and that. So she's gotten the exposure. At this stage in the game, though, she is not the person that is going to lead the women's division on camera. Behind the scenes, she can lead that women's division. On camera, it ain't happening.
No, I think, you know, it reminds me of Ralph Kremden, that episode of DT of the Honeymooners. I never hit that high note when he's with the trying to hit the high note. I've worked my whole life. I've worked myself. I've busted my back. But I've never hit that high note. That's Natty, and again, I don't dislike her. And you know, if anything, she's a very nice person. You know, you want to root for a nice person. We always talk about liking the individual as well as the wrestling character makes you a better fan, makes you more of a real fan of that person. So yeah, I mean, it's, and she's got the lineage and the family legacy and stuff. But that, you know, after a while, I think even sometimes people are like, yeah, we get it. You know, Hart Foundation, Uncle Brett, Father Jim, we got it. Your mom married a Hart. We've heard this a million times now. So I think sometimes when you beat fans over the head, you know, DT, the fans start to turn against you sometimes after a while. You know, fans get on their nerves, and we get on, you know, wrestlers get on our nerves. You know what I mean? It's a mutual love-hate society sometimes between the fan and the wrestler. You know, how many times, DT, have we seen people go, I used to be a fan, but I can't take her anymore. Or I used to like that guy. Oh, I can't stand him anymore. We hear that all the time. Both of us, we hear it all the time.
Yeah, if she was a New York Yankee right now, she'd be an Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way you look at that. You know, and it's not, you know, some people listen, they go down with the ship, and we both are big fans, like the way you're a Terry Funk fan, the way I'm a Von Erich fan. We go up and down with the ship, you know, no matter the good times, the bad times. And that's a great fan. But we also have to be realistic.
Yes.
When someone's time is up, we are only, we're making it worse because we're fighting too hard for something that's not going to be.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I have nothing but respect for Natty.
Me too, yeah, same thing.
It's she at this point, the title is, it's not in her near future. And this leads to something else. And listen, you know, I want everyone to be reminded that not only are we going to do match predictions, because some of these matches are very, very predictable. We're also going to talk about, you know, like scenarios that are going to take place following Night of Champions. And I got to throw something out there that I think people really got to start thinking about. I think Raw has a major, major problem right now with their women's division. And I'll tell you why.
I agree.
Who do you think is winning the tag titles this coming Monday on Raw, that four-way match to determine the new women's champions?
I'm not sure, because I didn't know a lot about the injury to Liv Morgan, how long she was going to be out, if it was legitimate, if they were writing her off TV for a reason. And then I saw the Shotzi thing come out, and I'm like, are they going to derail Raquel now? Does Raquel get kind of, not punished, but derailed because of Liv? Or can Shotzi just slide in and take that spot, and they retain, and they go on and do what Liv? Or is Raquel ready for a singles push, which, by the way, I don't think she is on the main roster. Right. I think they should let her roll with these tag team titles, because I hate that when, you know, the other tag partner get another partner and keep the belts. I hate when they have to make these ridiculous, irrational decisions, and then they derail the other girl or guy on the team. I hate that.
Yeah. Well, I think Ronda and Shayna have an excellent chance of getting it.
They do.
But you hit it on the head as far as Raquel Rodriguez not ready to have that singles run yet. But here is the question I got to pose to you, and I got to pose to everybody out there, something that people really need to start thinking about. I think we all agree it's safe to say that Rhea Ripley, right now, when she feuds with anybody, she's going to be feuding with Babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
Who do you think she feuds with after Night of Champions? Because I looked at this women's roster up and down, and I have the list in front of me. You got Becky, Trish, Ronda, Shayna, Raquel Rodriguez, Indy Hartwell and Liv Morgan, who are both injured, Natalya, Candice LeRae, Chelsea Green, Sonya Deville, Zoe Stark, Valhalla, Katana Chance, Kaden Carter, Maxine Dupree, Nikki Cross, Dana Brooke, Piper Nevin, Xia Li, Tegan Knox, and Emma. There's nobody other than Becky Lynch. There is nobody on that list that I could see Rhea Ripley feuding with next. And with all due respect, you know, Becky Lynch, her promos lately, you know, she's trying and, you know, she's great in the ring, but I'm just envisioning her feuding with Rhea. And I was talking about it last night. If you go back to WrestleMania, up until like 2 weeks before Mania, a week before Mania, you had, you know, Charlotte like talking calm and Rhea Ripley, she gets on the mic and instead of wanting to just beat the balls out of Charlotte, she's like, oh, Charlotte, at WrestleMania, you will see that I am ready and you were the man, you know, the woman. Yeah. And it was like, oh my God, stop putting me to fucking sleep. And I'm just imagining Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Outside of Becky Lynch, who is going to feud with Rhea Ripley next? There's nobody on there. And I got to say one last thing. NXT just went off the air. And neither Roxanne Perez nor my pick to win the tournament for the next women's championship, Cora Jade, neither Roxanne nor Cora Jade won. And I had this quick thought. You know what? Maybe Cora Jade pops up on SmackDown and Roxanne pops up on Raw. And maybe both of them end up feuding with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair next until the masked mystery person laid out Roxanne Perez right before NXT went off the air. And I'm like, fuck! Now Roxanne Perez has to stay around a little bit longer. Who feuds with Rhea Ripley next?
But isn't that something? They have Tennille Dashwood, Emma, there, decorated Ring of Honor girl who had classic matches for Ring of Honor in the Independence. And she's not even, we think of her as not even worthy of being with, because of the way she's been presented. Yes. You know, she's more known as Madcap's girlfriend than she is as a star. Tegan Knox is another one. I know she's, I think she's on SmackDown, but she's another one who, what's going on with her? Candice obviously looked like a job girl to Zoe Starks. Yeah. Zoe Starks is a heel. Now, they could do heel versus heel. They could build up Zoe to go up against Rhea. You know, Zoe's a tough girl, you know, kind of a little bit of, you know, butchy and feminine combination, tomboyish and stuff. But she reminds me a little bit of Shayna Baszler, that promo she did yesterday.
Yeah.
But she, I like her. But the crowd, of course, is giving her the impress us. We don't know you kind of reaction.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while. And beating Candice LeRae doesn't mean anything because they don't really know Candice other than Johnny's wife.
Right.
You know, so these are, and people like, Candice is so established. Tennille Dashwood is a decorated world traveled star. The mainstream WWE fans do not see that. It's obvious. It's obvious every week. And you can blame Vince McMahon or whatever, but there's not enough time to throw them into it because they're going to look at it as, oh, some job girl for Rhea Ripley. I mean, it's starting to look like, you remember Rocky III when Mickey lined up Rocky for all those has-been fights and Mr. T calls him out? He goes, you've been fighting a bunch of bums. You know, so that's what Rhea Ripley's going to like. If she beats Candice, Tegan or Emma or any of those people that you name, Nikki, it looks like a bunch of, you know, mid-card jobbers. There's nobody there that's a threat to Rhea. Rhea will just knock them down like bowling pins. And to have to dip into the 22-year-old, literally, like you just said, Roxanne, who looks like she's going to have to stay on NXT now, to go to a young kid like that because we're so out of – we shouldn't be out of options. Xia Li, another girl who is more known for going to the beach on Instagram and showing pictures of a pool than she is in wrestling. I see more of Xia Li out shopping on Instagram. I follow her every day. I'm like, when am I going to see Xia Li actually in a ring?
Yeah.
Why is she here? They moved her here from China to do what?
Yeah. We don't have a Mrs. T on Raw that could lay out Rhea Ripley.
You know, should come out.
Yeah, we don't have a Mrs. T go – Hey, Dom, why don't you come over to my house and I'll show you what a real woman is.
You're like, they should have someone come out like that. I mean, it's just, you're right. And you got Kaden Carter and Chance, Katana Chance. They're tiny and they're so eat them up.
She'll toss them like a salad.
Right, so maybe Raquel DT Raquel is the only Becky. One that can build up.
Yeah, you know,
maybe
I'm wrong. Like, yeah. It seems like Raquel or Becky. That's it. That's it.
Yeah,
I don't
Raquel
know.
Becky. Yeah, Raquel Becky.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's talk about another women's match at Night of Champions. Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus. I adore Trish Stratus.
Oh, me too. I love her.
I know 10 years from now we're going to look back on this and like, you know, it was cool that Trish came out of retirement, you know, and got an opportunity to work with Becky. I know that's something that Becky always wanted. For now, though, it's simmering like a lot of dog do. Something didn't click. In my opinion, I think Trish should have never turned heel. She's not bad, but she's also not 25 anymore. She's not a Karen. She's a beautiful 40-something-year-old blonde. You know, like, she comes off as, listen, everybody knows in the social media world how wonderful Trish Stratus is in real life. She is a doll. I don't know her personally, but everybody that knows her adores her. So yeah. The problem is when she's cutting the heel promos, you look at her and you're saying to yourself, this is a beautiful, good woman, good mother that's playing a heel on TV. And when you're watching wrestling, you want to suspend that disbelief and feel like that person is a little bit of an asshole in real life. You know what I mean? So if anything, Trish should have been babyface. Becky should have turned heel. I think that might have saved it a little bit. But I'm still thinking about all the people that were reporting that this match was going to happen at SummerSlam. And I'm saying to myself, could you imagine if they milked this for 2 more months?
Yeah, I love Trish, and you know, it's in a way, it's a dream match. But sometimes these dream matches are not all they're cracked up to be. We've seen it before with other dream matches. Trish looks fantastic. I think she's 46 or 47, and she looks great. I mean, she probably looks better now. I mean, it's not cliche. She looks better now than she did back then. Becky looks very skinny to me and just looks uninspired. I don't know that if people say, well, Kev, you know, the contract signings are always, you know, either they're very good or they're just cringe bad. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground with those contract signings. You know, you get an epic one every now and then with Roman Reigns or something like that. But for the most part, they never go as planned. But there was just something when Trish was leaning over the desk and just talking to her, it just seemed Trish was just rattling out things and wasn't very, you know, concise and wasn't very, had no conviction, DT.
Yeah.
She just was like, and she was talking, she was doing this low talker thing that you're like, what did she say? What did Trish say?
Yeah.
And then Becky responds, and then the woof woof thing with the glass, and Becky's wearing the weird glasses that look like, you know, 80s, you know, weirdo glasses that kids are wearing in, like, you know, 80s teen movies.
Yeah.
There's no cool factor of Becky. I didn't think she came off cool with her feet on the desk with those dumb glasses on and then telling Trish to bark like a dog. And a lot of people don't remember Trish doing that. Modern fans don't remember the woof woof thing. So I think a lot of people was lost on, I think it was lost on a lot of fans.
I think a lot of people didn't know that was the inside joke, because her barking like a dog with Vince was very uncomfortable for her. And, you know, it's like, it's supposed to be Becky shooting. Like, it's supposed to really
There were young fans who one thing, I don't get it. Woof, if she calling Trish a dog, I saw some, even a young podcaster post that. Someone posted the clip. And the guy's like, well, I wasn't even watching wrestling then. And I'm like, see, this is what these young, younger kids don't know this stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
So it came off like, why was she calling her a dog? I'm like, no, she's not calling her a dog. It's too much to watch the clip. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't know she did that.
What about Becky's wonderful rhyming beforehand? You're vapid, I'm passion. You're trashy, I'm fashion. You're cold and I'm hot. I'm it and you're not. I expected that comedy drum after. Like, you, I wanted the sound effect to go, tsh-tsh-tsh. It's like, I think Becky wins this. I don't think there's any chance of Trish Stratus winning this. I just, with all due respect, Trish is a Hall of Famer. I'm a fan of Becky's. I need this to move away. I think, you know.
One and done?
One and done. That's it. One and done. You know, maybe Lita shows up in Saudi Arabia also. You almost feel like Lita's
good. That's going, then maybe she can help Becky, like, you know, maybe trip her up or something, because Lita's got to get some sort of comeuppance.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm going to go with Becky Lynch to win. Maybe with an assist from Lita.
I'll go, Becky Lynch win where Trish gets humiliated or something like that. Yeah, okay. One and done.
All right. Well, we talked about him a little earlier when we were talking about Natty. Let's talk about Mustafa Ali challenging Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship love Samantha. I hope she's in Saudi Arabia just to do Gunther's intro.
Yeah,
listen, is this the Zelina Vega match that, you know, with all due respect, I mean, Zelina Vega got the opportunity in Puerto Rico because it was in Puerto Rico. Mustafa Ali is getting the opportunity because it's in Saudi Arabia. I've been saying it for about a month now. Gunther and Matt Riddle is the next big feud for Gunther. Is this simply because it's Saudi Arabia, Gunther will give, I mean, Mustafa Ali will give Gunther a really, really hard-fought match, come up short, maybe even get some respect from Gunther after the match, but you think there's any chance that Mustafa Ali is going to dethrone Gunther of the Intercontinental Championship?
I don't think it's worth doing that to hurt Gunther in the long track here because he is a major heel. We were talking about Rocky before. He's the Drago to whoever the babyface to Cody's Rocky down the road. You could see, right? I mean, that writes itself. Cody versus Gunther is a big money match down the road. Down the road. Don't know when. Could be far down the road. Could be 6 months down the road. But you cannot hurt Gunther's can. Just Gunther had an off night and Ali got the best of him. I don't want to see them do that. I want to keep this guy in a winning streak. I think they have to, just like with Selena, let her get the validation, whatever. And before anybody says, Kev, one thing people are missing, Mustafa Ali is not Saudi. I know that he's not, but as he said in the car promo that he was cutting and put out on Instagram, people who look like me over there, who have the skin complexion of me, who have the facial, just like, by the way, Rey Mysterio is not Puerto Rican. He's Mexican.
Exactly. You
know,
but, yes.
But it's Latin. So when people kept saying to me, Kev, I'm surprised, you know, you're a knowledgeable podcaster. Ali has no ties to Saudi. It's not that he has ties to Saudi. It's a look, and the people feel a kinship with people from Pakistan and from India. There is a kinship there. Like, there is a kinship between Latinos. Even though you can be Latino and be from Cuba, you can be Latino and be from Argentina. You can be, so, I mean, I throw it back to people. Shouldn't you know that?
Well, I'll add some shit to their cake. No, Mustafa Ali does have a tie to Saudi Arabia. When they went to Saudi Arabia in 2021, he and Mansoor put on a clinic for those fans. So Mustafa Ali and Mansoor were both almost equal in Saudi Arabia, and that's the connection. Mustafa Ali and that match with Mansoor is what made Mustafa Ali even that much over in Saudi Arabia. So
right, you know, they tested the waters with him over there. But also, like I said, he's a young guy. There's a big young contingency of fans there, young Saudi kids and stuff like that, who can relate to a guy like Mustafa Ali. So again, just like in, you know, the you didn't have to be from Puerto Rico. You just had to have some Latino in you, and it makes the crowd go, yeah, like me, speaks language like me.
Yeah.
So again, there's a kinship and a connection. That's why, because they're like, it's political, Ali's. Yeah, absolutely. There is a political tone to this. You know that, DT. They want to please the fans and give somebody a rub in front of, again, people who are going to want to give them that rub, and Ali fits the suit, as they say.
Let me give you an insane question that has nothing to do with 2023, but it's just a wild question that just crossed my mind. I'm very curious what your reaction is to it, and anybody tuning in, I'd love for your reaction as well. Muhammad Hassan. Right. If WWE would have gone to Crown Jewel when Muhammad Hassan was still a WWE superstar, do you think Muhammad Hassan would have been insanely over in Saudi Arabia, even though he's an Italian?
Well, in today's day and age, no, because they would. I don't know if that kind. Obviously, Saudi marches to the beat of its own drum in this world. They don't go cancel culture. Try kill culture. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if they would be like, he's Italian. Like, is he mocking us? Like, I don't know how they would take it. Years ago, when he was, you know, up and coming in the business, and there was a little, I mean, the bloom was off the rose with kayfabe, but there was still that, you know, little thing where people wanted to believe in characters, even if they, if Chief J. Strongbow was Italian, as we both know. We let all that stuff go. We knew George the Animal Steel was a teacher. We still enjoyed his character. We didn't sit there and go, he teaches gym. Like, you know, it didn't matter. So maybe they would have said, all right, he's Mark Capone. He's Italian. He's not really one of us, but he does this gimmick really well. And his partner was Arabic, so that might have worked. Because he did have a partner. What was his partner's name? His side man.
Who?
Muhammad Hassan's
side Daivari.
Guy. Yes, Daivari. Yes, and Daivari had the roots and the lineage, so maybe that would have been acceptable because Daivari was with him. But that's a good question, DT. In today's day and age, you know who would have got offended, DT? White people for Saudis.
That's true. That is so true. You would have it all over. Oh, my God. I'm thinking of some social media accounts right now.
How insulting an Italian from upstate New York mocking the – and be like, well, he's not mocking. He's playing a character. This is a show. It's a soap opera for men. I mean, but I can imagine today, you know, yeah, I don't know. If Mr. Capone's probably better off being a principal where he's at right now.
Exactly. Oh, so I think we both agree Gunther is going to retain, and then I think his next in line, Matt Riddle. I don't think there's any doubt of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, Matt Riddle. Yeah, yep, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good
it point. Seems like Matt Riddle. I'm very curious. Well, we'll get to the tag match a little bit later. But first, we have the other women's championship on the line. Bianca Belair versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. And listen, Kev and I, we're not even going to get into this rant because everybody agrees with us. When the fuck are they going to put the Raw title on Raw and the SmackDown title on SmackDown? Yeah. But right now, you know, because Bianca is on Raw, on SmackDown, we have to look at the women's roster for SmackDown. And it is much smaller than Raw. So putting Asuka aside, the SmackDown women's roster right now is Charlotte Flair, Asuka, Bayley, Dakota Kai, who was injured, Io Sky, Zelina Vega. I'm on keto again, so I have vegan on my mind. Zelina Vega, Miriam, Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, Shotzi, which confuses me because why? I just thought about it. Why is Shotzi on Raw? If Raquel is on Raw, but Shotzi is a SmackDown star. I just realized that. She's probably not going to be Raquel's partner after this Monday's Raw. Because Shotzi's a SmackDown wrestler.
Right.
I just realized that. Then you got Lacey Evans, Scarlett, B-Fab, and Tamina. So if Bianca does get past Asuka, you have to ask yourself the same question. Who is next in line to challenge Bianca for the Raw Women's Championship? And unless Charlotte Flair returns very, very soon, and I don't know how people would react to Charlotte versus Bianca, but what do you think is going to happen between Asuka and Bianca Belair in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. I mean, Bianca already has the record for the women's champion or whatever, but I also want to see, you know, the switching of the belts, because it's weird. They still haven't even talked about that, where they, you know, that time had, what's her name, Becky and, was it Charlotte, throw the belts to each other that
yes,
time?
Yes.
Switch the time. So I'm wondering if they can have a moment like that. I mean, Asuka came out of the blue. I thought that they were deep push. I thought Asuka was handily defeated, and that was it. A couple weeks later, she appears while she's in our hometown and blows the mist, and then Bianca really oversells it. So I don't know what's going to happen, because people are like, yeah, I think, you know, they just wanted Bianca to reach that milestone of, you know, what was it, 300 and something days. And
yeah.
I'm like, is that really all it was about? I thought that they really just like Bianca being the champion because she's a good champion for them. I don't, you know, is this company all about now getting to certain, you know, eliminating records of other people that they don't like?
It's not eliminating records. It's the greatest of the modern era.
Right, the greatest of the modern era, exactly. Yeah, not like, you know, like eliminating records, even though I do think that Vince truly wants Gunther to beat Honky Tonk Man's record, because it doesn't sit well with Vince that a guy like Honky Tonk Man has that record. And same thing with Pedro Morales. No offense to him, but they like that. Yeah, we got to get Roman leapfrog over this guy. You know, no, half the fans don't even know who Morales is. I'm sure they sit there and even say that. You know, half the fans don't know who the Honky Tonk Man is. You know, half the fans don't know who Sherry is or whatever. So, I mean, I'm sure that's the talk today. But I don't see, like, people like, ah, this is Asuka's time. She's going to win it. I'm like, is it her time? I kind of don't. I see Kairi Sane as kind of the Japanese upcomer, upstart sensation now. I see Asuka as the back burner girl. So I don't, and it's like, oh, can't you have two Japanese stars get pushed? Yeah, but WWE doesn't do that very well. I think you got to go one or the other. And I thought it's going to be Kairi Sane.
Io Sky, you mean?
No, I'm sorry.
The other Japanese wrestler. Other I make Japanese that mistake wrestler. All the time.
I just had a brain fart. Maybe I'm on keto.
No, no, I've done that too. I've actually.
It's going to be Io Sky. So I don't think Asuka's like, you know, old job girl or something like that. But I just don't. Why now? And that's going to be pretty uneventful, in my opinion, yeah. If she dethrones her in Saudi. I don't know if I want to see that. But I'm going to go with Bianca Belair, but not shocked if they decide to do a title change at Night of Champions, and Bianca is the victim here. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they are going to do. Maybe we will see two new champions, DT. But I'm going to go with Bianca, but not shocked if Asuka wins.
Yeah, I would be happy with something dumb where Asuka wins, but because she has such good-looking blue makeup that she's in the back with the red championship, and she goes up to Rhea and say, you, me, we trade. I like blue. You know, like, give me something stupid like that at this point. I don't really mean that, everyone. I would love to see Asuka dethrone Bianca Belair and then have Asuka immediately feud with Io Sky. Because we already had Io Sky and Bianca in Puerto Rico, and it would kind of look a little goofy to revisit that with Asuka thrown in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, why not just do the rematch? You know, so unless we end up with, you know, Io Sky winning the briefcase. I mean, they got Money in the Bank qualifying matches coming up, so Io Sky could end up getting that briefcase, and then she could chase, you know, anybody. You know what? I just had a fucking epiphany. Brainstorm.
Okay.
I just had one. Holy shit, Kev, I just had a fucking brainstorm. What could happen is whoever wins that briefcase, what they'll end up doing ultimately is cash in on the other brand. And that's how you could get the title back to the other brand. They could end up going that route where, you know, somebody wins the briefcase and then cashes in against the other brand. The only problem is then you have, you know, that person automatically move to the other brand, and what do you do in its place? So I tell you, you know, I really thought the draft was fun. You and I had a fun predictions episode, and it's very interesting to go back on that episode now and see how some of it's already panned out. Some we nailed, you know, beautifully, and some really haven't come to develop yet. And you look at the women's division and you just ask yourself, how could they put themselves in such a horrible situation where, you know, outside of maybe Charlotte's return or rematch with Io Sky, that might even be kind of goofy, you know, doing it so quickly after Puerto Rico. Like, you don't have much of anything. The only other name that stands out to me is Lacey Evans. And I could picture WWE having Lacey Evans come out of nowhere laying out Bianca Belair, and there's the feud. So I am rooting for Asuka, but I think Bianca Belair is going to retain, and then she might end up feuding with Lacey Evans next.
That's not bad. I forgot all about Lacey, by the way.
You're not the only one. Believe me, if I didn't look at this list, Fightful has the list on their website. If I didn't look at that list, I would have forgot about it, too.
Jeez.
So we're both going with Bianca, reluctantly Bianca, to retain.
Right.
All right. That leaves us three, the triple main event. You know, and I know some people, you know, online, they're like, oh, why is it called the triple main event? Only one match could close out the show. They want fans to feel that each one of these three matches have the same level of importance. Exactly. That's really what it comes down to. So the first one of the three that we are going to talk about now is, and believe it or not, you know, this match, I'm shocked how diverse the predictions are online. It's, I would say, 60-40 as far as fans giving predictions in this match. 60-40 in favor of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn retaining. I'm shocked at how many people that think that Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa are going to get these championship titles. But my problem with it is that both belts are on the line. And, you know, if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were defending just the SmackDown tag team championships, then I could have thought to myself, you know what? There's a good chance that Roman and Solo could get it because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn would still be tag champs. They just would be on Raw, and they're Raw stars anyway. But when, in my opinion, when WWE decided to put both sets of titles on the line, to me, it sealed the deal. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to retain. The Usos are going to show up. Roman Reigns didn't ask for their help, and either it's going to backfire and they're going to cost Roman, or they're intentionally going to nail Roman and put the bloodline. I'm going with Kevin and Sami to retain. What do you think?
I was one of those guys, by the way, that was thinking that, you know, I just love.
And that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Because I thought this match was, when they put both title sets of titles on the line, to me it made it so predictable as far as what the match result's going to be. But, you know, I always say this, when there's a lot of people that think that the opposite is going to happen, that's when pro wrestling is doing its job at its finest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the idea is to really not be able to predict who the winner is going to be. What do you think is going to go down in this match?
You know, because people like that would be ridiculous for Roman to have the champions and for a world champion to even get a tag team title. And I was thinking back to when Morales and Backlund beat Samoans at Shea Stadium, if you remember. Yeah. And I think they had to relinquish, right, DT? Like within a week or two, they had to relinquish. And then they had, I think, a tournament. Not a tournament, but they had like a some sort of I'm not sure if they had to defend the belts or they lost them on television. I don't remember what happened there, but
I remember the magazine where he was forced to surrender the title because was the heavyweight champion.
That's right.
He was forced to forfeit it. I don't remember if the Wild Samoans ended up getting the championships next, but yeah, I don't recall them. Yeah, they definitely did not defend those championships and lose.
No, they didn't. And was Morales Intercontinental Champion at that point?
No.
He wasn't. No. Okay, yeah, that came later.
Yeah, that came later. But at the same time, though, they wanted all the focus on Backlund, which is funny because you and I were WWF fans in 1980. Oh, yeah. And I don't remember, like, all my friends in an uproar leading into Shea Stadium, like, why is Backlund fighting for the tag titles? He's the heavyweight champion. Like, I don't remember anybody thinking there was going to be controversy. And then when he gave up the championship, you know, it really was like, oh, okay. You know, like, I didn't really, it was like matter of fact. There wasn't a lot of importance on it at the time. I don't know why.
There really wasn't. But I'm saying they could make Reigns and Solo, and also that gets a belt on Solo, and it's just an extra accessory for Roman Reigns at that point, and it's going to drive people batshit if they do win. So I kind of get a little bit of a thrill and a kick out of the fact that they could win, and the freak out factor that we'll see, it will be monumental. But to all the whole road that they traveled to get Sammy and Kevin to be champions and stuff, and they're only champions for 2 fucking months. So I don't know to lose, and they just lost a match on television, right? Balor
Judgment
and
Day,
Priest.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not sure. Have they cooled off? And I've seen other podcasts talk about that. Does it feel like they've cooled off a little bit, Sammy and Owens? Not with the live crowds, but I think the online hype has cooled off, obviously, a little bit, and that happens, you know. I think everybody's cooled off since WrestleMania, to be honest with you. But yeah. I'm going to go with. I'll be the crazy prediction one with this one. I'm going to say, because stranger things have happened, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa get the belts, but not both belts. There's some loophole where you're right, DT. They get one set of titles, and Kevin and Sammy, through some sort of technicality, still keep other belts and get to stay on Raw with them.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Reigns and Solo strutting the belts on SmackDown. However, through technicality, Kevin and Sammy don't lose at all. They lose half.
Yeah, or maybe they get the rematch down the line and, you know, they're only willing to put up the Raw championship titles.
And then they go back. And also, it betters the story for the bloodline because Reigns can literally taunt the Usos and torture them, right? And Solo, he's like, your brother, your younger brother's in the business for 2 years.
Yeah.
He's a champion. You're the only guy. I don't see any belts on you
guys.
You're
supposed to be the greatest, and look what we got here.
Right, and it can also make Solo then more aligned with Roman Reigns, where Solo can get cocky and go, yeah, which, yeah, you guys don't even have titles. It could be an ongoing thing where they just browbeat these guys until something, and people wonder, are they going to break up this week? Are they going to attack Roman and Solo this week? So I like that. You know what, DT? I'm going to go with that because it could further the storyline and really, really make them the Usos, really the baby faces in this, if that's what they're going for anyway.
Yeah. Well, I promise you, when we get into one of the final two matches, I think you and I are going to differ on the outcome of a match. So I'm going to stick with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn only because, you know, the way that they're over-milking things. I mean, that's what I went on a rant last night as to why Bray Wyatt ended up flopping, even before he took the time off again. They just teased the QR codes and who was Uncle Howdy and, you know, is Alexa Bliss. They just waited too long. And after all of that time to lead into a match with LA Knight that wasn't very good, and then afterwards he's having house show matches against LA Knight, and it's like, wow, the guy's been back 6 months, and what do we have? It's almost like, you know, would they sell his novelties like, oh, I walked 5,000 miles and all I have is this shirt. You know, like Bray Wyatt did all of that and all he has is what? He's got a Mountain Dew. Because that was the match, the Mountain Dew match. I'm going to go with Sammy and Kevin Owens to retain. I think the Usos absolutely get involved. I think either one of two things happen. Either the Usos show up, Roman yells at them, I don't need you. I don't need your help, and they try to help anyway, and it backfires, or they intentionally cause Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa to lose. And then we may end up getting the match sooner than later, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the Usos. Maybe that happens at Money in the Bank. Possibly. Maybe it happens at SummerSlam. So I'm going to go Kevin and Sami Zayn to retain, and you know, we'll see what they're going to do about these championship titles down the line, because I as much as I'm happy with Sammy and Kevin Owens being champions, those SmackDown tag titles need to go back to SmackDown. Maybe the only reason why they haven't pulled that trigger yet is because outside of the Usos, you know, and outside of now Roman and Solo as a tag team, it's like, who would you put the belts on? You're like, you can't say the OC, they just returned. You're like, what tag team has got crazy momentum on SmackDown? I mean, look, there are tag teams on SmackDown, but I can't think of anybody having crazy momentum right now. So that's probably the reason why they're doing what they're doing. But all right. A lot of people are wondering what match is going to close it out. I personally think Seth Rollins and AJ Styles is going to be the final match of the night.
I agree.
So since we both agree on that, let's talk about, what do you want to talk about? So Don Tony, Kevin Castle universe, what do you want to talk about? Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes. Everybody has seen the story. Everybody, if you pay attention to what I say and Kev says, you know about the chase. You know, the destination is still the same. We have this detour. But, you know, Brock Lesnar now mangling Cody Rhodes' arm. Triple H tries to convince Cody, you don't need to get injured and lose another year. And this and that, blah, 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 blah. Cody Rhodes tells Triple H, you of all people, what would you have done? And Triple H just taps him and walks off. Now, I've seen the net. Everybody and their mother now, Triple H is scheming with Brock Lesnar and this and that. And I think people forget we're not getting a Cody versus Triple H match down the line. I don't know if Triple H is actually going to return to television, being the next Mr. McMahon or the Authority. I think people are brainstorming way too much. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about
overthinking it.
A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Paul Heyman working, making deals with everybody, shaking hands with Imperium, shaking hands with Judgment Day. We probably could reveal that he shook hands with Brock Lesnar. You know, maybe even Roman doesn't know about it. So I think people are brainstorming right now. But at the end of the day, you know, Cody has a win against Brock. When Cody feuded with Seth Rollins, he had wins over Seth repeatedly.
Three.
So with that said, going into Saudi Arabia, does Cody make it 2-for-2 or does Brock Lesnar defeat Cody Rhodes?
This is a tough one because I'm not sure, and Brock has really gotten the better of him. So my thing was, like, since Brock has beat the hell out of him several times now, got the best of him, humiliated and humiliated him several times on TV, you know, walking away from it. Cody's come up and says, obviously, at the match and getting the pin on Brock again. Brock has nothing to lose at this point anymore. Mid-40s. He's not going to be in the title picture anymore. He's not exactly here to put over people like, you know, kind of like when they brought Mr. Perfect back that time, and it was in 2002, and do, like, you know, just have look good in matches, but in the end, just do the job. He's doing job for select people, Brock Lesnar, select people. And Cody would be one of those select people because I think he is the heir to the throne and the chosen one and Captain America and new John Cena. Absolutely. I haven't changed or swayed from that at all when I see other people getting off that ship. Oh, I don't know if Cody didn't win it. I'm thinking more and more now that that was a missed opportunity. Cody's reaction is still rock solid at events. I've talked to people who've been in arenas. His shirt always sells out. It's number one and number two every week. Next to the LWO, it's neck and neck, biggest merch seller, just a fact. And he gets tremendous reactions at arenas. He's not he's fallen off, I think, in certain cynical fans' eyes, DT, but I don't think he's fallen off in general. And again, me and you talked about his dad. This is very Dusty Rhodes reminiscent. In the NWA every week where Jim Crockett is telling Dusty in the back that they would jump in Dusty every other week, beating his arm. Matter of fact, I think Dusty's arm and leg were worked by the Horseman on several different occasions. Yes. Dusty came out, remember, with the wraparound thing around his head, like a head bandage? Yep. Like after the Horseman beat him up again in the locker room.
I think they showed footage of him in the back getting bandaged up.
Yes, I've seen this before. And then there's, again, the cynical fan. I know this is not NWA 1987, blah, blah. You're seeing things rehashed that you don't even know you're seeing rehashed because you don't want to be
historian. You know what's funny, Kev? Those same people that are throwing that shit in our face like, oh, you know, this is not NWA. Yet, when they played CM Punk's like theme from like 15 years ago.
People are like, off all over themselves.
You don't know about CM Punk's history. You don't know this. You didn't realize that that's an homage to Bret Hart and the match at, you know, blah, this is a palooza. You're like, shut fuck you. Shut
hypocrisy.
Up.
Well, it's the hypocrisy of the IWC, which is talked about all the time, which is a real thing. I mean, wrestling fans can't they forget, but as they're opening their mouth about one thing, they're forgetting about something else that they were completely on the opposite side of. So it is a hypocrisy. There's nothing wrong with rehashing stuff and putting a new spin on it. It's done in wrestling every day. Mm-hmm. So all the matches you're seeing now are offshoots of Bunkhouse Stampedes from the NWA. And all the matches, what do you think the Royal Rumble concept came from? From Crockett territory. They just redid it. So all the things that people enjoy are actually rehashed and updated versions of stuff from the past. You know, even though, you know, again, you know, if you want to be ignorant to wrestling, that's fine. Or if you just like, well, I watched it from Attitude Era and on. Well, then you missed out on a lot of good stuff. And also, it's fun to know, like, hey, I know what they're doing here. Like we talked about, like, this is very reminiscent of Dusty. There is something to it. And I don't know why it irritates some fans, DT, that Cody is following the pattern. Oh, he should be his own man. Why does he have to be like, first of all, he's nothing in wrestling like Dusty. Right. You know, he doesn't wrestle like him. A couple of signature moves to pop the crowd. But other than that, Cody is his own man. He's not a clone of his dad at all. Do you see him glomming off of Dusty's reputation? Cody was flying on his own quite fine. It's a tribute. And plus, he's in the WWE. WWE, people like superstars. Cinema. Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, I find that so funny. Oh, he's got a Glom off his father's name because it's his father.
Would they have complained if the bloodline was like a recreation of something with the Samoan family from like that's 20
what the
years whole, ago?
That's what the lineage is. That's the funny part of people rocking and doing the ones in the air. If the, you know, the wild Samoans didn't, you know, get married and have kids, you wouldn't have a bloodline. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I think that's funny that when it's convenient, bring out the legends. When it's overbearing, oh, fuck the legends. Don't want to, no one cares about those guys. Make up your mind, you know.
And the reason why we haven't seen much of this, like we are seeing with Cody, with, you know, shades of his dad, with storylines and stuff, because if people look in the last 50 years in the world of pro wrestling, there aren't many father and sons that get to this level. I don't think anybody in 1989 wanted to see David San Martino chasing for the gold, you know.
No.
Tamina, to a certain extent, you know, paying tribute to her dad. Like, you don't, you look at the, over the years, there's not many chances like this. You don't get opportunities like this. Even Randy Orton, when his dad was around, his dad was not a world heavyweight champion, you know, and to the status of what he was. You don't have many people whose father and son. Rocky Johnson was one of the greatest. When I was growing up as a young wrestling fan, he wasn't heavyweight champion. He was tag team champions with Tony Atlas. You know, it's like, so when you look at the situation with Cody and Dusty, it's rare that you get something like this. You know, and Charlotte and Rick, you know, are probably the second, you know, in line as far as that lineage amongst, you know, parent and child that have had that crazy level of success. Charlotte and Ric Flair have even more success. In my honest opinion, Kev, this is a phrase that I might even be using when the recap, and hey, who knows? I was joking about it yesterday. If people want to make us an offer that they can't refuse, maybe I could talk you into doing a little bit of a recap next Tuesday. Not sure. Putting you on the line, but
Sure. You know, I'm open to anything, you know me.
Yeah. I think next Tuesday, the line may end up being that the destination does not have to be undefeated. And I think Cody Rhodes showing faults, showing imperfect, him being imperfect, showing that he can fall victim, I think that is necessary along the line. I think a lot of people equate the chase to undefeated. And yeah, in no way, shape, or, yeah, I mean, people, this isn't a like a Mickey James or Ric Flair storyline that if he loses, the chase is over. You know, Cody Rhodes is going to lose matches between now and when he dethrones Roman. And what keeps popping up in my mind is that I could see in Saudi Arabia that Brock Lesnar locks the Kimura or another submission move on Cody, and Cody is writhing in pain. He will not get, again, Kev, this is where you and I being old men probably benefits us. I am now welcoming my oldness. As Brock has the submission move on Cody, all those young wrestling fans are getting ready to write on social media, what the fuck now? What the fuck happens with the chase? What the fuck? Or you should have won it, WrestleMania. What the fuck? What the fuck? Meanwhile, you and I, as we're watching Cody writhing in pain, we're thinking of Dusty. We're thinking of Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13. We're thinking of, he will not give up. He will not submit. He'd rather die than give up. And I think Cody Rhodes is going to pass out from the pain. The referee is going to stop the match. It's not going to maybe make Brock Lesnar totally thrilled because he never got Cody to submit. I think this leads to an additional match. I think we, like you said, the Rocky reference before, Rocky 3. I know Apollo and Rocky only had two matches. But, you know, in this case, you know, like Rocky lost the first one, but he won the second one. They really didn't do the rematch afterwards because didn't Apollo retire? And, you know,
Yeah, and they did, you know, if you remember at the end of three, they were in the ring and they went to throw a punch at each other and left you.
Yeah, oh yeah, they were sparring in the back.
What happened with that? And that's what made it so popular. And each movie, even bigger box office, because people were still invested in the story.
You want to know something? I don't mean to interrupt you.
But
Mr. T and Rocky Balboa is more in line of Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar, because you wouldn't see Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes in a empty gym after two matches. They have a win apiece where they're like, ding, ding. You know what I mean? Like Mr. T and Rocky Balboa only had two matches also. And when I keep thinking Hulk, cause he was in Rocky III, after Rocky Balboa won after Mr. T, there was no rematch. In fact, we don't even know what the fuck ever happened to Mr. T. I know he went to 1-800 collect, but
we don't. Well, he went on to be in WrestleMania 1.
Yeah,
but you know the funny thing is with this stuff, when people think about, like, here's what I'm going to hate, DT. Cody, I agree with you, and I'll go with that narrative too, that there's some sort of submission where Cody is unkind, much like Austin with Bret Hart, and which, you know, elevated Austin because he showed guts that he never really tapped out. The referee stopped it because he was in a pool of blood or whatever. Maybe they're going to, you know, ape the Bret Austin match that they did where Ken Shamrock was the referee. Maybe something like that. And the first fucking person I see say Cody's buried now, I'm going to let them have it. I don't care what the repercussions are. I'm going to be like, you fucking can you learn wrestling? I mean, I don't mind, you know, people get emotional where they have their favorites, whatever, but just the buried. He's not buried. No one is buried. You're right, DT. Whoever promised you, talk about never promised you a rose garden, who promised Cody to be undefeated career WWE? Yes. When did that ever happen? I mean, who said that? You're right. Think of it as baseball. The Mets lost tonight. 2 days ago, we were riding high on a 5-game streak, and we're right back in the hunt again, over 500. We lost tonight to the Cubs. The Mets aren't over, but I did see some fans go, Mets right back to losing again. They lost a game.
Yes.
They lost a game. Cody can lose a match. Yeah. He wrestles every fucking week.
Cody, at some point, he's going to have to cut a promo and say it, Kev. He's going to have to say, I'm just a man.
I'm just a man.
I'm just a man. Exactly. You know, like, he's not going to say the common man. He's obviously not the common man.
He wasn't
man.
Undefeated in AEW, a company that he co-founded.
Yeah.
So why would he be undefeated here?
Yes.
His father wasn't undefeated.
No.
You know, no one was undefeated. I mean, Ultimate War, everyone did the JOB at some point. Everyone's got to lose at some point. Matter of fact, Bob, Ultimate Warrior lost a few matches before he got the big push and got the Intercontinental title and went against Hogan. Well, Macho Man lost a bunch of matches, you know, and still got elevated and got restarted and became champion again in the early 90s. So I don't know what anybody's talking about. Ric Flair, you talk about all the times he won the title. How many times he lost the title?
You want to know something?
Still a top guy. Learn wrestling, people. Learn fucking wrestling.
I'm going back to, well, it's actually difficult for me to look it up because actually the stats online are incorrect. I wanted to look up what Dusty Rhodes' record was in some of the years when he was doing the chase. But like when I look at, like, I think 84, you know, he's got a bunch of losses under his belt.
Oh,
and 86, he's got a bunch of losses under his belt.
He lost to, I saw him lose to Nikita Koloff with my own eyes. So he lost a bunch of matches.
What it comes down to is, and, you know, I'm trying to force myself to not keep bringing up the negativity of social media. But what is really going to come down to is that the people that do know certain elements of history, they will be the first to remind everybody of it. But when they don't know the elements of history, they will either complain about it or they will say, this is 2023. This is not 2000. You know, Trish Stratus, roof, roof. Like, we don't know about that stuff. Well, there was a lot of people that do know about that. And yes, maybe WWE shouldn't have rehashed it yesterday. But the point is that friends, enemies, haters, lovers, supporters of what we do, there's going to be times that you're watching stuff on TV that it might be an homage to a storyline, a wrestler, something that has happened in the past because it worked. Just because you do not know or didn't realize it was what it was doesn't make you ignorant, doesn't make you less of a wrestling fan. You're not going to understand every little thing that goes on. And because you didn't live through Dusty, doesn't mean it's outdated simply because you didn't live through it and you don't know what it's about. You know, we brought up the comparisons of the Four Horsemen and this and that and this, you know, because we lived through it. And that shit was hot back in the 80s. You know, outside of WrestleMania and Hulk Hogan from 84 onwards, you know, in the NWA, you know, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair was one of the hottest tickets. The feud, the Horsemen. I mean, there was other things with the Road Warriors and, you know, others, but the point
Road
is...
Warriors and the Russians who always traded wins and losses.
I'll leave everybody with this. Even if you did not, even if you weren't alive when Dusty was chasing Ric Flair or feuding with the Horsemen, even if you don't know anything about it, even if you feel it's outdated, one thing that you have to keep reminding yourself is, when was the last time that you saw anybody who was old, anybody who watched wrestling at that time, anybody who lived through it, anybody who wrestled during that era, when was the last time you read or heard someone criticize the Dusty Rhodes, Four Horsemen, Ric Flair storylines, feuds? Everybody looks back with it with love, with the fans that lived through it. It's a positive point, part of history. Dusty, the only thing about it is that Dusty did not hold the championship long. The last heavyweight title reign he had, I think he had the title for 15 days around that time. Nobody's going to accept Cody only holding the belt for 15 days at exactly. this stage of the game. But they're going to bring up elements of what happened in the past because it worked. And it does pay homage. And I think the reason why Cody Rhodes said to Roman Reigns right before WrestleMania in the promo exchange, look, I'm fine with you if Dusty's name is never brought up again. It's not because Cody was throwing shade on his dad. It's because Cody and WWE and Roman and everybody else acknowledges the fact that a boatload of wrestling fans today did not live through Dusty, did not know anything other than the person who trained in NXT and this and that. So they're not bringing it up to eliminate the complaints of people online. Why do they keep bringing up Dusty? Do they realize that the majority of people tuning in now didn't follow? So they don't bring it up. But when they do pay homage, they're not going to bring it up. And that's what I think frustrates people online. Because if it's not brought up, and they don't realize that it's an homage or if it's an element from history, then they feel inferior when someone else did figure it out. When you, if that happens at Saudi Arabia and, you know, people just get it way wrong simply because they didn't know about, you know, the elements of it, doesn't make them inferior. But you know how social media is, especially, you know, people can't just admit that, hey, you know, I didn't know. I got it wrong or this and that. So I'm going with Brock Lesnar to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to go with Brock too, but in a way that still gives Cody credibility and bounce back ability and doesn't hurt him.
Referee stoppage?
Least, despite anybody saying it well.
Referee stoppage?
Referee stoppage, Cody unconscious. He can't actually say, I quit. I agree with you, DT. It's something taken out of that playbook where Cody never says the words, but the referee had to make a call.
You know, they don't have to make him unconscious, too. He could just be, his arm could be just so mangled that the referee just like, look, you had enough.
DT, what about Triple H coming out and telling the referee to stop it?
That would be something. Triple H throwing in the towel. Cody, that's enough. That's enough, Cody. For your family's sake, that's enough. That could happen, too. The end result is Cody is not tapping out. Cody is not going to get pinned. Cody will lose, but he loses,
Triple
but
H,
he doesn't
Triple H
lose.
Is involved. I think Triple H's involvement causes an animus between the two of them, and then there's tension where you actually even think they're going to come to blows. No one's turning heel or anything. Yeah. I think it's just going to be a tension between an authority and Cody thinking the authority is getting in his way to do this, and it's best for business kind of shit.
I don't think it'll happen with Triple H only because they're in Saudi Arabia and it's more of just fluff. Like, if he starts throwing in a towel and, I think it's the wrong environment to do that in. I mean, I'm cool with if that happens.
I think
happens.
Triple H can come out, though, because he's there anyway.
Sure, he can come out and show concern. I think, either Cody passes out from the pain and they're forced to ring the bell, or Cody is so mangled with his arm that the referee just makes the call.
There you go. Look. Yeah, that you know, your lips to God's ears, as they say. I think that's the way it's going to go down, or some yeah. form or fashion of that. Yeah.
I could picture Cody looking at the referee and look at the fans going, no, no, no. I still have one good arm. I could picture that referee ringing that bell, and Cody's got this look on his face like, no, I didn't give up. I didn't. And, you know, fans, Cody. Cody doesn't necessarily have
pinned,
to be passed.
He's not pinned,
out.
Right?
Yeah. So, I think it. Yeah, referee stoppage. I think mm-hmm. that's what we agree on. So, God, it's cool. That's cool. I'm listening. Cody loses, I'm fine with it, because like you said, you know, the road to that destination does not have to be undefeated.
Nope.
No one ever said that he has to be undefeated in order to complete the chase.
You're
going to have obstacles. See, that humanizes Cody even more. Look, you and I out there, you know, we're not perfect. You know, we're trying to lose weight, and there's going to be times where you might gain a couple of pounds, and you can't, like, just quit the diet because, you know, like, you could use so many things in life. You know, you have setbacks. That I could see, like, you know, he'll cut a legendary promo about setbacks. So, all right.
Yeah. Again, I think it's obvious. Yeah. And if it goes another way, I'd be shocked.
Yeah. I think, yeah, ref stoppage. All right. Cool. That leaves us for the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles. Can AJ Styles actually win it and become the World Heavyweight Champion of Raw, or is it the worst kept secret in wrestling? Seth Rollins gets this championship. Seth Rollins creates a lineage that WWE intentionally makes it look that much more superior to Roman Reigns. The less we get of Roman defending that title, and the more we get of either AJ Styles or Seth Rollins defending that title, the more that title will have meaning and purpose. Who do you think wins this match?
I'm going to still go with Seth Rollins. I still think that's the course to go. I saw that obviously they did interviews with both guys, and they want people to think that it could be anyone's match. But I think the course of action there is to get the belt on Seth. I just think Seth is, you know, AJ's been out for a while. Seth's been more of a workhorse here every week, putting in the work. Now people say, okay, wasn't he a flop as a champion when he was the you know, key guy on Raw, as we had done this act before? Just because people are singing a song now of his, that makes him, is he going to be, the ratings are going to go up? Like I said, cynical fans. And they got a point. I don't think that at all. I don't think people saying, whoa, is going to make people tune in droves. It really doesn't change anything. But I think that he's put in the work, and I do believe that WWE over the years has paid guys back, so to speak, as far as entrusting them again, giving them a repush, a do-over sometimes in certain cases. Or there's just a faith in the company that, no, he's the guy to put the belt on now. That's a big part of it, is trusting your guy who's going to lead the charge there. SmackDown is fine. They got Reigns, even though he doesn't appear that much. They have a good crew there on SmackDown. I think they're fine. I think Raw is much more in need of repair and in a reboot. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what's old is new again. Seth is a different Seth Rollins. It's a third incarnation of his character, more flamboyant. I almost called it, like, you know, he's getting to the point where I think he's going to start putting glitter on his face like Adrian Street.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for them to come out with Miss Linda, Miss Becky. But AJ has got, you know, a few years on him. I think AJ is just a workhorse, upper mid-card guy now. I don't think AJ is going to get the belt. I think he's always a threat, and he's going to give – it's going to be a classic match. It's going to steal the show, and it'll probably be five – even Meltzer might have to admit it's 5 stars. I don't see it being anything other than the match of the night and something that people are going to talk about like they did with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. I think it's going to be – that's going to be that match that people talk about. But Seth Rollins – he's the guy. You might not agree, and you might say, nothing's going to change. Raw's still good. You're never going to know till you try, and I think Seth is putting the time, and he's a good go-to for them. And there's so many fresh matches Seth could have. You know, he's clearly, both guys, by the way, are baby faces, which I also find interesting. Yeah. Neither guy's a heel going into this. They're actually both faces. And I look forward to Rollins versus Damian Priest, Rollins versus a returning Drew McIntyre. I have total faith that Drew will re-sign and appear on Raw at some point as a heel. So I look forward to it. And Seth can make anybody look good. Talk about wrestling with a broomstick. Seth can make anybody look good. If you think Flair can, Seth can too. So yeah, you know, I'm elongating the point here, but it's Seth Rollins. I'd be shocked. As shocked as you guys probably were to see Roman Reigns beat Cody at WrestleMania, I'd be shocked to see AJ get the belt. I just think it's Seth's time. And yeah, that Captain America 5-minute appearance he's doing has nothing to do with it. He's not taking time off to be in the Marvel Universe. That was another thing people were floating out there.
He already finished it.
It's already been done, the role.
Yeah, I look, I think... You know,
yeah, AJ's 45, Seth's 36. He's got 10 years on Seth. Yeah.
I mean, look, this is going to be a 4.5-star match minimum. They're going to put on a clinic. WWE is going to give them a ton of time. I could picture in Saudi Arabia, especially with the extra pomp and circumstance, that they go off the air with loads of fireworks. AJ Styles and Seth Rollins with their arms up in the air in the ring to close it out. This is going to be a match that people are going to remember for a very, very long time. There is no question Seth Rollins wins this championship. All this nonsense online that WWE is concerned about Hollywood and maybe they're not going to put the title. Again, everyone, people, this is how people need to create material for their content. Creating all this nonsensical bullshit from the CM Punk stuff to, you know, to the Seth Rollins stuff, you know, from you just every week you get stuff like this. This is the worst kept secret in wrestling. Seth Rollins is going to become champion. As we have said repeatedly and, you know, for months now, WWE is turning Roman Reigns into Brock Lesnar from about 6-7 years ago when we were just frustrated, like, why is Brock not defending the title for 3-4 months at a time? So the more Roman is being pulled back, you know, the more this title is going to mean something. And I saw the social media noise online. AJ Styles the other day said that, of course, the heavyweight championship is a secondary title. That's not criticism about the belt. No one has won it yet. No one has defended it yet. No one has had any type of a run with it yet. Why would that title immediately be on the level of Roman Reigns' belts? Roman has got a 1,000-day reign coming up.
Exactly. That's
why. See, this is what people online don't realize, how ridiculous they sound. When AJ Styles says this belt is secondary, it needs to be secondary because the more it's looked at as a token championship, if people have coined, the more important it's going to be for Seth Rollins to have a memorable run, to have a Gunther-like run. You know, so when Seth Rollins wins this match and becomes champion, you know, now he has to show the wrestling world why this belt is not a secondary championship. And how you do that is you defend it and not defend it every week. It's quality over quantity. And I don't mean the Roman Reigns, you know, quantity, but, you know, you have, you know, top quality matches, whether it's Drew McIntyre or Gunther or Finn Balor, whoever it is. So Seth Rollins is going to take this championship, and I think he's going to have a Gunther run with it. You know, the thing that I've been saying for a while now is people just need to put their seatbelts on and get ready for a long drive because there is no way that Seth Rollins is going to lose this championship quickly because if he loses it quickly, then everything about hyping him up to ultimately try to be above Roman Reigns, that's where it comes to a crash landing. Cody could lose a match between now and Roman and still be on the road. If Seth Rollins loses that championship in a short amount of time, it's going to be looked at as a failure no matter how hard he works at it.
You're right.
So, yeah, Seth Rollins is going to win. It's going to be hard fought. AJ is going to be very, very important in this match. And when they go off the air, celebration. Both guys.
I agree. Yeah,
a lot of
great
respect. Yeah. So out of all the matches on the card, which match are you looking forward to the most? Not as easy as you think, right?
No, it's not as easy as I think, but I always enjoy Roman's run with this and now with the dissension with the bloodline because I still think there's more to the story. I'm tired of the Usos versus Sammy and Kevin, but I'm looking forward to Solo and Roman as a team going against Kevin and Sammy. I think, you know, there's a lot going on there. There's still, you know, there's still some story to be told with them. I'm looking forward to that match on a personal fan level. But as far as from a Matt Classic or something that we're going to remember, I think AJ and Seth are going to steal the show.
Yeah, I think AJ and Seth will be the match of the night. For me, I'm looking forward to Brock versus Cody more than anything else because – as we just discussed, I don't think it's as cut and dry of how this match is going to end up. You know, Triple H, you know, entering Cody's dressing room on Raw was, I don't want to say genius, but it was very important because that put an element in this story that a lot of people weren't talking about. Now they think that Triple H may be trying to screw Cody. That maybe Triple H, you know, and Vince McMahon a year ago, you know, were trying to do something like they put Cody against Seth Rollins because the opposite, that Seth is the guy. You know, it's I don't think it's going that low. I think Paul Heyman, I think that's where they go, simply because of the merger, simply because of Triple H's health. You know, even though it's a lot better, I just think Triple H, if he didn't have the heart attack, I would absolutely think Triple H, authority, you know, on-air character almost every week. I could see it. I think ultimately this may end up being a Paul Heyman situation, but that's why I'm looking forward to that match more than anything else. There's so many different ways that this could go down with that match, but I love your idea and my idea of the referee stoppage. I think that adds a twist that nobody's going to see coming.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, look forward to it. You know, Saturday afternoon. I like that it's on a Saturday afternoon. You know, this way you still have the night. If you got to work or you have plans, you want to go out. I mean, I don't mind the Saturday afternoon pay-per-view. I think it's going to be enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, Kev, any final comments about Night of Champions before we wrap this up?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing if we're right, because then we'll have a lot more to talk about if we do the recap.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm definitely looking forward to see what we got right and how it goes, not just with the Cody, but even, you know, maybe even what I was talking about with that situation with the tag belts, that maybe one set of titles could be taken back to SmackDown, where it's a taunting thing for them to torture the Usos weekly. So if we get it right, I mean, it's just, again, chalk it up to us just being around a long time and just, you know, knowing this game at this point just by observation.
Exactly. Well, we'll see how everything goes. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited. Seven matches seems very manageable. I think we'll that event will be done in maybe around 3 hours at the most. And, you know, if the stars aligned and there's a lot of requests for it, then maybe we will continue this conversation in 1 week.
Yes. Let's see what happens.
Yes. Much love, Kev.
Thanks,
Dave. All right. Have a good one. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, be well. All right, everybody, would love your feedback. Post it on social media. Post it in Patreon. You know, definitely love to see everybody's feedback. We'll do a normal Don Tony show Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Probably only go an hour to give everybody time to get their popcorn and their soda. And, you know, if you're keto, get your protein and your avocados ready. And we'll have plenty of time to check out Night of Champions. So, Kev seems to be open to doing a recap of Night of Champions. So as of right now, let's keep that on the table. Next Tuesday night, the 30th of May, Kev and I will return doing a recap of Night of Champions. The interesting thing about it is I don't think we'll have to spend 90 minutes recapping it. I don't think there's going to be a boatload of controversy coming out of it. But for our Patreon family, maybe we'll do a double. Next week, Kevin and I will do a recap, and then I will do a regular DTVI Patreon afterwards. So But, hey, I'm really looking forward to Night of Champions. I think it's going to be a really, really fun one. You look at the matches, Trish and Becky have me intrigued a little bit. Natty and Rhea, I think it's, like Kev said, it's probably going to be more of like a 3 or 4 minute squash. Hey, look at Zelina Vega versus Rhea. That match didn't go as long as people think either when you actually look at it. Mustafa Ali and Gunther are going to put on a great match. I think some of the outcomes are very predictable. But the cool thing about it is there's a few matches on this card that are very unpredictable. So I hope you enjoyed this recap. You know, I know we say this at the close of almost every show, but it is very, very important and it's crucial, you know, for the shows going forward in the future. If you enjoy what we do, spread the word. You know, post the links, post the episode on social media. I mean, I appreciate each and every one of you that do it. I do take notice of everybody who does. And, you know, sadly, I do take notice of a lot of people that don't. But if you really enjoy what we do, if you want to see more of the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show back, you know, we got to create some buzz out there, create some noise. But I had fun tonight, and I hope you enjoyed this recap. So much love, everyone. Thank you as always, and you all be well. Take care. Have a good night or a good day, depending on where you live.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah.